Federal politicians have put aside politics to acknowledge the suffering of tens of thousands of children at the hands of people they should have been able to trust. For 5 years, the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse laid bare shocking patterns of abuse, cover-ups and denial in churches, schools, orphanages and sports clubs. Today, a visibly emotional Prime Minister Scott Morrison delivered a national apology to victims and survivors. When Newcastle Detective Chief Inspector Peter Fox first went public with allegations of a cover-up of child sex abuse by priests in the Maitland Newcastle diocese, he was branded a liar and his career was almost destroyed. He's in our Canberra studio right now and he was in Canberra for the national apology today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patricia. Good to be here.
Exposing the abuse in the Maitland-Newcastle diocese became your life's work and you paid a high price for it. How did you feel today listening to the apology?
Oh, I probably felt like so much of the rest of Australia. I couldn't have imagined this 10 years ago, yet here we were. And I purposely came not wanting to get my expectations too high. I didn't know what quite to expect from the apology. And I've got to say that I've walked away a little bit overwhelmed. Both the responses of not only the Prime Minister Scott Morrison, but also the opposition leader Bill Shorten were very powerful indeed. And, I think that really moved so many of those survivors and their families that were here today. And I've got to say it certainly moved my wife and I as well.
There were references today to parents, police, authority figures turning a blind eye or refusing to believe that abuse was happening. Why was it so important to you to pursue this when really it was against all odds? I mean, everyone else was moving in the other direction. There was a culture of cover-up, but you broke that.
Yeah, well, I suppose, I had 36 years as a police officer, nearly all of it as a detective, and, I think we're probably... Most people would be aware that the way that you attack most crimes, and if I use as an example the drug problem, if you're just happy to sit back and just continually lock up those users at the very end of the line, you're not doing anything to make inroads into the problem. And I looked at the child abuse scenario the same way. We were looking up priest after priest and brother after brother, et cetera, et cetera. But the overwhelming problem was the cover-up. I think Blind Freddy could look at the situation that was unfolding and say, how has this gone on for so long and no one knew? Clearly, there had to be multitudes of people that knew, and the Royal Commission has exposed that and proven it to be a fact. And unless you dismantle that protection, that mechanism of cover-up and the failure of people to hold others to account, those sort of crimes would continue. So I did become very passionate about wanting to have that area addressed and policed.
Last year we saw Archbishop Philip Wilson convicted for failing to report abuse. How many others deserve to face justice but haven't?
I dare say that the mind boggles with the numbers. Certainly... If I just take one priest that was up our way, and that's Father McAlinden, there is documented evidence that four bishops since 1951 right through to his death in 2005 all knew, all endeavoured to cover it up and caused many of their fellow priests to cover up what was happening. And we've heard the story so often. He was moved not only from parish to parish. When it got too hot within the Maitland Newcastle diocese, they moved him to Western Australia, they moved him to New Guinea, to New Zealand, wherever it needed to be to keep the heat off. And when it settled down, they moved him back. And all the time, knowing that he's continuing to sexually abuse children all the time, even when parents are coming in. And, if I do single one out that horrified me, was the mother of a 9-year-old Raymond Terrace girl that saw the bishop, told him that the priest had been raping their daughter. And by that I mean not digital or any other sort of penetration, but full-out sexual intercourse with a 9-year-old girl. And the bishop just moved him again. And it just horrified me that someone could know that and still sit back and think, I've got to look after this priest. He's one of my, one of the people under my charge. I've got to look after him. And didn't even get counselling for the girl or her parents, or the reputation of the church was first and foremost. And it horrified me.
Churches consistently covered up abuse, moved abusers, silenced victims, denied wrongdoing. Do you believe the culture has genuinely changed as a result of the Royal Commission?
I think we'd all like to think it is. I think that all institutions would be much more aware, of course, now that they are being so much more scrutinised, that people aren't going to be as willing to be blindly led as they were in decades past, because, you know, what the Royal Commission has exposed, I think, has horrified all of us. And all of us are now so much more conscious of what actually transpired. My, you know, I have four granddaughters. Two of them are being schooled in the in Catholic schools and raised Catholic. And, you know, I've had discussions with my daughter-in-law, and I respect that. They're her children. Yet I've made it very, very clear that I don't want their faith at any time to jeopardise their safety. I think we've all got to have learnt from the lessons of the past, the failures of those systems and the failures of those individuals in it. You know, that said, I don't mean to portray all of you know, clergy or that. I meant some wonderful, brave individuals that were amongst the clergy, but probably like myself, that were ostracised and hounded down. And you know, sadly, I know two Catholic priests that took their own lives because of their treatment after exposing what went on. There was many good people there that were fighting for the right thing within the churches. Yet this culture of cover-up, of protecting reputations, seemed to permeate to the surface and crushed everything else below it.
Just finally, there was so much love in the room for Julia Gillard. It's been noted by many people today at the end. I mean, she was literally, I think, a man. I was just stunned to see this, literally got on his knees and tried to kiss her feet. She was, you know, obviously quite humbled by it and told him to stand up straight away. What is it about Julia Gillard in relation to this and this Royal Commission that has so many people feeling, you know, such a strength of warmth towards her? I don't think I've seen anything quite like it.
Well, I think, you know, there's many components there. I think all those sort of things that have been raised in the path, it took an atheist to call a Royal Commission. Whether, you know, I don't think that that was the major factor. You know, other people have pointed out to me that she was a woman. Would a male politician have done that? There are certainly some aspects of that are valid. But at the end of the day, so many survivors just believe the politicians, like so many people in authority that they'd been turned away from before, would continue to turn their backs, would never, ever acknowledge, and certainly wouldn't launch an inquiry. And, you know, there was a lot of to-ing and throwing going on at the time. I know from the time I appeared on Late Line, over the 4 days following, I watched very carefully as various politicians took different camps. Some were opposed to the Royal Commission. Many of the independents, I've got to say, and to their credit, very quickly jumped on board and were advocating very strongly. And there was our Prime Minister sitting in the middle of all this, and it's got to be one of the very toughest calls of her career, because I don't doubt for a moment that there were factions within both parties of Parliament that did not want a Royal Commission to happen for various reasons. Yet she made what I believe, and I think now Australia also believes, was the right decision ultimately, and we've all benefited from the results of that decision. It was a gutsy call. There's no two ways about it. You know, I would compare it to John Howard's call with the firearms issue after Port Arthur. But yeah, that was, I think, Julia Gillard's shining moment. Perhaps having read her book, I think that she should have paid a lot more time to it, because I think it's her crowning glory.
Thank you so much for your time, Peter.
Thank you, Patricia.
That's former Detective Chief Inspector Peter Fox, and this is RN Drive.